As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Notice yesterday the pecan trees are back. The leaves are back. That means, the hot weather is here to stay. And it's going to go, up to 82 today with a 45% chance for showers. You got some rain here or there, 70% tomorrow, 40% on Wednesday. Then partly cloudy, highs in the mid to upper 80s. And as we get toward the end of April and May, you know what's going to happen. It's going to turn summertime. That's what happens here. And then June 1st, start of hurricane season, blah, blah, blah. Peter Egan joins us now, Louisiana State Representative, talk about the session. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yes, good morning.
Tell me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. Tell me about some of the bills that you've filed and some of the things you're looking at.
Well, I trust that you're speaking about the insurance bills. I'd be happy to talk about some other bills that I filed, but I'm not sure that's the topic you want to pursue this morning.
We can talk about anything you want, but let's start with insurance What affects, I guess, most people? You tell me of the things that you've proposed. Insurance is the thing that's got your primary attention, or are the constituents' primary attention?
Yes, sir. I think in 2024 we had a phenomenal year in the legislature. We've got a lot of things accomplished. And the year culminated with, you know, some great things that happened to the state. Even with the tragedy of the attack on New Year's Eve, we still had a wonderful New Year's, Mardi Gras, Super Bowl. Everything turned out perfect. And I think those things identified the trajectory of the state at this point in time. I believe we are pursuing an agenda that will move the state to become very competitive with a lot of our neighboring states who seem to have taken a step ahead of us. So towards that end, we accomplished a lot of things last year in terms of addressing crime, addressing taxes, addressing education. But at the end of it all, in every conversation that and this is not just in my constituency, which is District 74 in St. Tammany Parish, but speaking with all of my peers throughout the state, the topic that would predominate everybody's conversation was that of insurance. Even with all of the accomplishments, people wanted to return to the conversation of insurance and ask, what are we going to do in order to improve the insurance picture?
Go ahead.
So that kind of tees up where I started with this. When we began with the conversation, mm-hmm. I guess I was anticipated you, like everybody else, would be looking to speak to that actual topic.
What hope do we have, Representative, as consumers, that we're going to see, and what's a time frame for any real hope when it comes to either automobile insurance or car insurance that we're going to see a real reduction in rates?
Well, if I was able to answer that question right now, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. I'd be at a different, more elevated position in life and in the state, because a cliche, that is indeed the million, or if you will, the billion-dollar question. Every level of insurance needs to be addressed. Now, last year, I do believe that we had significant success in moving the needle in terms of property and homeowners insurance. We did a number of reforms last year, and towards that end, the thing that creates better insurance outcomes for citizens is competition among insurers. And last year, by virtue of the weather events that we had with hurricanes, and realize we had a massive back-to-back series of very negative weather events over a relatively short period of time, to the extent, and if I remember the numbers correctly, the insurance industry, after the last two storms, paid out about $15 billion and collected $2 billion in premiums. Insurance companies are entities that are in the business. They are business entities. They're in business to make money like any other business. And with a loss ratio such as that, many, many insurers left the state of Louisiana, to the fact that when people went to, two things happened. Their homeowners insurance went sky high, escalated rapidly. And secondly, their ability to price shop diminished because so many of the insurance companies left the state after that. They took their losses and moved on. So that the work that we did last year, and we focused primarily on homeowners insurance last year, towards that end, right now, 10 insurance companies have filled out the paperwork and made application to begin writing homeowners insurance back again in the state of Louisiana, which is a tremendous boost, potential boost. Now, they have made the application, they've done the paperwork. Needless to say, that whole process has to start again with people beginning to shop, insurance companies beginning to compete with each other, so that the actual turnaround in terms of a price variance is probably going to take a good 1 to 2 years. But the primary antecedents are in place. We have the insurance companies in the state right now, and we will anticipate seeing a great reduction in homeowners insurance over the next 2 years, God willing, in that we don't have another tragic weather event.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to Representative Peter Egan, Louisiana, who from St. Tammany Parish, correct? The North Shore?
Yes, correct. Yeah, District 74, St. Tammany Parish.
Who was originally born in Galway, Ireland, and we can talk more about insurance as the session goes through its paces, but I want to come back and talk about politics in Ireland as opposed to Louisiana and compare and contrast, because everybody has a story, Representative, and I want to hear yours. 722, traffic now, WWL. 727 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. The session's going to go on till June, and we'll talk more about insurance. But we're talking to Peter Egan from St. Tammany Parish, and he's originally from Galway, Ireland, and I've been here since 71. I just got to pick your brain here and ask you, Peter, what... Compare and contrast politics in Ireland to the United States, and specifically Louisiana, if you will.
Well, Tommy, you mentioned that you have been here since 1971.
You've been here since 71.
I've been here since 71, correct.
Yeah, I was born here. I've been here since 71 myself.
Oh, you're
myself.
Born? Yeah. Okay, I apologize. I misheard. Okay. I've been here since 1971, which will tell you that I am an American at this point. I have been away from Ireland for a very long period of time, more than most people here have been alive. So my general awareness of politics in Ireland is not the same as it is of my awareness here. However, I certainly communicate a lot with family in Ireland. Ireland, as with all of Europe, has moved a little bit differently than the United States. I guess in our terms, it has moved slightly more to the left. It is a different type of government in Ireland. All of that being said, the Irish economy seems to be functioning very, very well. I will mention a couple of things that they did in Ireland that I believe we probably should try to replicate, and certainly Louisiana. We're working on replicating one of them right now, and that is education. The Irish government many years ago focused on educating its young citizenry and identified that as the path to the future. And back in the 1980s and the 1990s, they opened several technical colleges, expanded the university system, and produced a highly educated workforce, and were able to attract multiple industries from all over the world to where right now, and this is, I was very, very surprised when I heard this, but Ireland is number 9 in terms of exports to the United States. For a country that's almost the size of Louisiana, it's 9th in the world in terms of how much stuff it sells to the United States. And that's a reflection of the level of industry there, which is attributable to a highly educated workforce. The other thing that they did in Ireland towards that end is they provided a good bit of tax breaks to incoming industry, to where they did attract a lot of the pharmaceutical industry, a lot of the biotechnology, a lot of the overall, I guess, the addendum to the, I guess, Silicon Valley does a lot of work in Ireland. So and it has become a very affluent country because of that.
So real quick, when it comes to the organics of politicking, I guess, of campaigning, any different, or is it all about listening to people and reflecting what they want and trying to get that done in the legislative process?
Well, let me contextualize it by saying this right now. If we don't listen to what the people want at this point in time, which in our estimation, insurance is paramount. If we don't hear that and act upon that and get results on that, then I do believe they will be looking for a new crop of politicians. So, I think listening to the people, no matter where you are, if you're in politics, your primary goal is to hear the needs of the people, respond to that, and work as hard as you can towards that end. And right now, we believe that auto insurance, because we have addressed homeowners insurance significantly, we believe right now auto insurance is the topic of the day. It is impacting Louisianians very, very painfully. It's impacting the trucking industry very, very painfully. Many, many trucking companies have either gone out of business or have had to leave the state because they cannot afford the level of automobile insurance that we're way out of control with that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Peter Egan, originally from Galway, Ireland, been here a long time since 71, but I just thought I'd pick his brain about politics in Ireland as opposed to here. It's all local, right? We'll take a break, come back. Talk with Matt Rowe, public affairs specialist with the Army Corps of Engineers about the river and so forth. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're going to talk with somebody at 8:45 about the death of the Pope and the election of the new Pope and so forth. Right now, we're talking to Matt Rowe, public affairs specialist with the Army Corps of Engineers, talking about the Mississippi River level rising and Bonnie Carey spillway and more. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Did you have a nice Easter?
Oh, yeah. The weather was perfect. It was a good day to get out and hunt some eggs.
Yeah. Did you find any?
My daughter did.
Okay.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, as long as somebody did. Let's talk about the river. What's going on with the river level and the spillway and so forth?
We're in the typical time of year when the river levels do come up. We've been in phase one flood fight for about a week, expecting to go into phase two flood fight tomorrow when the river is higher than 15 feet at the Carrollton Gauge. That means we'll have inspectors out daily checking the levees around the metro area, as well as our local partners at the levee districts will have inspectors out as well.
How hard is it to predict what's coming down from the north?
Where we are geographically, we have a pretty good lead time on what's happening up north when it's expected to get here. We know rainfall in the Ohio River Valley and on the Missouri River and everything, once it hits Cairo, Illinois, is about 2 weeks away from being down here.
And you measure that with cubic feet per second or something? That's how you measure the flow, and that's how you extrapolate from that what's going to get here?
We monitor the stages, what is actually coming in at, and then we measure the flow as well. So we can forecast the flow rate out a couple of weeks, and then as well as the stages pretty well.
We have a couple of minutes here, Matt. So before we get to the spillway, I think it's important just for context to talk about everything that does drain into the Mississippi River. What kind of, I guess if you want to call it percentage or tributaries, a percentage of the water that the United States rainfall gets eventually finds its way to New Orleans in the Mississippi River?
It's 41% of the contiguous United States. It's 31 states, 3 Canadian provinces, all kind of drains into the Mississippi River and makes its way down past us here in New Orleans.
And along those lines, is there anything that could happen in the next couple of weeks that would, and I guess you'd deal with meteorologists as well, that would indicate that maybe the spillway would have to be opened all the way as rain forecast, or how long does it take for that to happen to get to here and build up with what is already waiting?
We are keeping a close eye on the precipitation that's expected over the next week or so across Arkansas, Oklahoma, because those are tributaries to the Mississippi River as well, and the Red and the Arkansas rivers. So we're doing the math to see where that rain's going to fall, how much of it's going to fall, and then when we expect it to get here.
So as it stands now, we'll talk about what you're going to do with the spillway when we come back, but as it stands now, are you anticipating a full opening of the spillway or not?
Based on the forecast, the operational trigger for Bonnie Carey Spillway is in the forecast. We have to, like I said before, kind of see, how much and where that rain falls to see how that's going to impact the forecast.
Wait, say that part again, what you just said?
We're going to have to see how much rain falls and where it falls, because mm-hmm. that'll determine how long it takes to get to us, to see how that's going to impact the forecast.
So as the forecast stands now, you don't know?
The forecast indicates the trigger points are there, but the forecast does change daily, so we're checking it every day, and we're just kind of right there on the cusp of it to see if the forecasts are actualized.
Wait, so you're saying the forecasts indicate that there would be enough rainfall to trigger a full opening of the Bonnie Carey Spillway? Is that what I'm hearing?
Right now, the 7-day forecast does have the operational trigger in the forecast, but further down the road, the rain that's going to fall over the next week or so, it'll take a week or two to get here once it falls, how that'll impact the long-range forecast.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back 7:50, 10 till 8, talking to Matt Rowe, public affairs specialist with the Army Corps of Engineers, about trigger points and rain up in the north and how that could affect us and what they're going to do to test the spillway and more. If you got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler talking text line. You can text your comments in or questions in. I'll pass them along. We come back. Message, text, and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. I'm Tommy Tucker, 751, 9 till 8, Traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker. Quickly back to Matt Rowe, Public Affairs Specialist with the Army Corps of Engineers. We're talking about rain forecast and trigger points as it relates to the Monte Carey spillway. So are you guys going to have a practice opening? And then, well, let's talk about that, Matt, then we'll move on. Is there going to be some kind of practice or rehearsal or something? What's going on with that?
We're having a practice or training exercise today. This morning, we have to wait until the river is around 15 feet at the Carrollton Gauge to be able to conduct a practice exercise like we're going to do today, because we need water actually flowing through the structure at the Bonnie Carey Spillway, because, you know, when the water's up against the structure, the water seeps through the way that the structure is designed. And so to truly simulate, you know, close to real world conditions during an actual opening, you need to have water passing through the structure. And so it's high enough today to where we're going to get the crews out and have them practice pulling some of the pins on the structure.
So at what point or on a scale of 1 to 10, I know you're predicting weather and everything else and going on forecasts and flow rates and so forth, but scale of 1 to 10, how likely would you say right now we are to have a full opening of the Bonnie Carey Spillway?
I can't say. We need to see today's forecasts. Those haven't come out yet. But the forecasts have been right around the trigger point, just beyond it. So we're just taking today as an opportunity to get out and exercise because, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, the past 3 years, the river's been incredibly low. So we haven't had an opportunity to get out and have an exercise like we will today for the past several years.
But as it stands now, the water is against the spillway boards, whatever you want to call it, and there is enough to open it to have a test, right?
There is. Water is seeping through the structure as it's designed to do, and so the crews will be out there pulling pins. The structure is almost, you know, going on 100 years old. And, you know, operates the same as it did as it was designed back in 1929.
Very interesting, sir. I'm sure we'll talk to you again as the spring progresses. Thank you, Matt Rowe, Public Affairs Specialist, Army Corps Engineers. We'll come back, talk to Jefferson Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng, and then we'll talk about the Pope here on WWL.